shiny little Uber, deliver, deliver.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm Jill Spears, your host, and I'm here with my favorite worms. It's Lance and Lulu. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, everybody. Good evening.
Great to be here tonight. So much going on in everybody's garden, so we're going to give the phone numbers because we're live and ready to take your calls and comments, questions. 970-527-4868-866-KVNF. Now you can email worm@kvnf.org. And a lot on your list, Lance. Lots of little things going on. I mean, just everything.
You Lance's list, right? You gotta love it.
You do.
May I see it?
Yeah, you can see it. Well,
I gotta put my glasses on.
Yeah, every time I get an idea of something, I go in the house and write it down.
Write it down on the old envelope.
Yeah.
No, this isn't an envelope.
That's the back of a check stub.
Oh, okay. That'll work too. Well, let's start with carrots because we had carrots on the list last week and we had some great callers, so we didn't get to that.
Yeah.
But you are done thinning all of your carrots.
I'm done thinning carrots.
You had hail on Tuesday and Wednesday?
Tuesday on
Wednesday. I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm done thinning carrots.
I'm reading the list. I'm going down the list. Okay. I'm a little ahead of you guys. Sorry.
Yeah. And then the other thing I had on there was daughter.
Mm-hmm. That orange
stringy.
The daughter weed.
Yeah. And so it was just in one spot, and I picked it off, and wherever it was tangled or attached to a leaf, I pulled that leaf off
because just took it off.
I didn't take the carrot out. I just took the leaf off because wherever it is attached, even though if you think you've pulled everything, that one spot's going to grow.
What causes that, or does that just appear sometimes? And is it mostly
it's actually carrots? It's comes from seed, and as soon as it finds a host, it detaches from the ground and is a parasite and lives off the juices.
Yeah,
and that will bloom, all little blooms on it, white, fuzzy things, and they'll make more seeds.
Remarkable.
And they really, you can see it along all the roads.
Mm-hmm.
It's that orangey stuff, and you might not see that stringy, but it's there.
Yeah. Right.
D-O-D-D-E-R. Google it, and you can get a picture of it.
Yeah.
Dada.
D-O-D-D-E-R. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Daughter? Yeah. And, it's funny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows
up. Lacy?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's stringy.
Stringy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stringy. I actually was at a place today, and it was in the weeds going up to the flower bed, so I just pulled on. I didn't try to get rid of it, but I knew that if it got in the flower bed, it would take over the flower bed.
Just pull it on back kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. It's been a banner year for weeds, especially our favorite bindweed.
Oh, no kidding. Bindweeds.
It's remarkable. I mean, I'm blown away. I have it in places where I've never had it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it in, you know, like in Dave's yard, which is always so meticulously kept. And
just coming up everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a sign. I'm not sure what of, but I'll figure it out.
It's been a sign all of my life. I mean, bane of my outdoor existence.
Yeah, it's a sign. That's for sure.
All right, 970-527-4868-866. KVNF now. Let's talk about that hail, little microclimate burst.
What happened?
Let's see. Tuesday after our show, I went home and went and walked around. I could tell it rained and really hard. And then when I started walking around the garden, the corn was sort of shredded, and where I really noticed it was on the big squash vine leaves, and just holes punched in it.
Yeah,
and stuff was sort of knocked over here and there or leaning, and so I just went and got my kelp and sprayed. It was after 8. I just sprayed 2 gallons of kelp throughout the entire garden, just to help it through the stress of being beat up like that.
Right.
And
right.
then Wednesday evening, you know, 45 minutes before the garden tour, I had rain and hail again. The hail wasn't as bad.
Yeah, but it made everything look really nice.
Oh, yes, I bet it was gorgeous and lush.
Just fresh.
Yeah, it was really nice. Yeah, Jill wasn't there. It was sad. We missed her.
Well, I missed you guys too, but it sounds like a great turnout, and you had a chance to see the garden up there, and pretty impressive.
Yeah.
It is. It is. It, you know, and it just, it so speaks to different, not just different strokes for different folks, but different localities, different setups, how much space you have, how well you can use it. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd all do it different.
Right. So you learned a lot just by that. Yeah, you two have two very different
gardens.
Very different, yes.
Very, very different. Yeah, my garden right now is at the point where it really looks bad. But in another week, it's going to look spectacular because I kept planting the beets. So some are big and ready to be thinned and, you know, the nasty leaves taken off where the fly got them, the leaf miner. And I discovered that the little birds have eaten the tips off of all of my beans.
No kidding.
Bean vines. Yeah. I was so happy about having them. Now I want to shoot them all. You know, but no, not really. But, you know, the beans will continue to sprout from the side. They just won't get as tall. And so maybe that's a good thing. We'll see.
Right.
Yeah. Something I mentioned earlier on, how I planted the sweet peas and they weren't growing. So I took and I realized that the rodents had eaten them all down. I had the best sweet pea crop ever.
Ever.
Because every single one of those sent out two or three more shoots.
Nice, right?
So I got quadruple the flowers.
Thank you, critters.
Yeah. And my peas, which I planted extra thick snow peas, are doing fabulous. And they're just starting to flower.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. And the great, I don't even know what it is, the great spaghetti squash and pumpkin challenge to the top of the wall of squash is going really well.
Is it?
Yeah, it's
we
going
need a
really
picture
well.
Of that to put on the website and watch that grow.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Hey, let's check in with Greg from Cedar Edge. Good evening, Greg.
Good evening.
Hi.
How are you?
I am great. I have some questions, though.
Go for it.
I'm kind of a novice gardener, and I have a pretty good-sized garden here in Cedar Edge, and I have a bumper crop of lettuce, two different kinds, and it's all mature now. So I'm looking at harvesting all of it, but you can't do much with it for very long. And wondering, do you have recommendations for types of lettuce I may re-sow now, or is it too late to sow lettuce and get it to work?
No, I just planted some lettuce over the weekend, and I will be planting again the first week of August. And maybe even later, just
watch the weather.
Yeah, and my mood. You know, how much more do I want to do?
Right.
But red lettuce will sprout or germinate in hot soils.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the mix will do really well too, because something will come on it. Those packets that are the special mix.
Mixes.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the other thing you do with lettuce, you can freeze the seed and cold stratify it, then plant it. And that will work too. You know, but like your black-seeded Simpson, forget it. Red deer tongue, forget it. It's not going to come up. You know, there's a red prize head. Will not germinate no matter what you do to it. But I plant red salad bowl. I plant red romaine. And I actually have one green lettuce called Green Star. And it germinates in the heat. Those are the three that I'm growing.
Okay.
Right,
I actually don't know the exact species I have. I use the plants and I use the seeds and I didn't record them all. I have a similar question about peas. I'm excited about your snow peas. I had a really great crop of peas this year, planted three different kinds.
Nice.
I thought they were going to space out because they had longer germination dates, but man, they all came in quite close.
Oops.
You got a lot of food going on up there.
Oh man, it's great.
Yeah.
So, would it be possible to replant peas now, or is it too hot to do that?
No.
Ooh, I don't know.
No, I got a space
ready. Did you do some?
Not quite yet. The last week of July and the first week of August. The snap peas will tolerate the heat more than the snow peas, at least germinating and growing. So you can do it. And I actually made an area for it, and I'm not going to plant it for another, a week or so.
At least.
Well, I think I'm going to pull up my peas and replant them. That's mm-hmm. great. We loved it. Had tons of peas. Also, I'm struggling with peppers. I want to make a lot of salts like I did last year, but I had to buy peppers last year. So I have jalapenos mostly, but they're struggling. I don't know what I've done wrong. I have one friend who claims they plant them in a shaded area, maybe shaded by tomato vines or by squash vines or something. But I've got them out in the open, and they struggled to start. I started them, with sets. I didn't mm-hmm. go from seed. And they shocked real bad. Finally took hold, and now I think they're going to make it, but they're just not sitting on very well.
You know what? That's okay. Just keep watering them. Maybe give them a little food,
mm-hmm.
little all like parts
compost tea,
tea, or a really good little fertilizer of some kind, and just hang with them because as the weather cools, they're going to come on. Mm-hmm. They're going to be okay.
They'll be okay, and I've heard of people shading them.
Yeah,
actually, have better luck with them in a small greenhouse. Or row covers, and the other thing when it's really hot, when in the cool of the day, shake them just like I've mentioned shaking the tomatoes because that's how they pollinate. It's not insects; it's movement, wind movement, stimulation is what they call it.
In the hot of the day?
No, in the cool.
In the cool
of the day. So
we've had a lot of wind. They've been shaking pretty good, right?
Yeah. So they should be pretty good.
Yeah.
So is your garden, do you have full sun?
Oh, you lots have, of sun. And okay. Of course, in the heat we had, it was just, wow.
It's brutal,
So it's coming great, though. I have the first summer, first zucchini ready to eat now.
Oh, good.
Summer squash is blossoming, coming on good, and I'm going to have a ton of cucumbers in three different kinds.
All right.
They're already blossoming, I'm starting to set on. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
Don't have as many tomatoes this year. I had over 200 plants last year. I'm down to 120.
I think, did you call us last year? I think I'm remembering this.
I did.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just learning, and I appreciate greatly your good advice. But I separated my tomato plants a little further apart, and I put them all in cages. I built cages out of a cement mesh.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm down to 15 minutes a mesh to make one of those cages out of it. But they're great, dude. I think they'll last a long time. But
yeah, they're really sturdy.
Yeah, I did it and cut the bottom so I had spikes. So the bottom ones have a 6-inch spike and set them in there, and they're holding in really well. But I'm hoping that they'll yield really good because they're all pretty good. My tallest, I have one that's topped out the top of the 5-foot.
Wow.
Cage already, and I have to keep topping it off because I don't know what's going to go after that. But it's been a pretty good year. Struggled with watering the tomatoes. Last year I had trouble with my romas getting the end rot.
Mm-hmm.
And I called and talked to you about this, and I had other advice that I was watering them too much. I have it on a time sprinkler system, which is handy, but of course you've got to cut a lot of weeds, man. The weeds grow. It's been a great year for weeds. Competitive little buggers, aren't they?
Yes.
They're doing great.
But so I set up a way to flood irrigate my tomatoes I took them off the watering deal. And I've had mixed advice. One guy said, he puts his tomatoes in, waters them good, and never waters them again, just once in the year. I don't know about that.
No,
I don't think so. But maybe he's got a secret plan or something. I don't know.
I think he's had a good imagination. So the question is with watering the romas versus the others, the paste tomatoes, I don't want to have that happen again. And so I kind of put them on the side of the garden where there's less water, and I can control you know, with flood irrigation, I don't have a gated pipe, but, you know, use the rocks mm-hmm. and mud and flood it to keep the water down. Do you have any sort of recipes for watering to keep your tomatoes at their maximum?
Oh, gosh. Well, I know you don't want to dry them out. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. See, Lance doesn't grow tomatoes, so I do.
Yeah, what's your strategy?
I drown them about every other day or so. And I grow the San Marzano paste tomato, and it tends to, when we were talking about wilty leaves, that sandy mint, that can look really bad sometimes. You just hang with it. It's very susceptible to the heat. So when it starts to, you know, look like, normally we would say, you know, if you called us and said, yeah, my Sam is down, we might say, uh-oh, there you go. But no, they just stay with them, give them a lot of water, and then back off for a couple of days. And it makes a difference to what your soil is as well. Is your soil good at retaining moisture? Is it nice, loose soil? Or is it more compact and it's harder to get a consistent, regular amount of water down to the roots?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you fertilize? Do you fertilize?
Yeah.
Fertilize the tomatoes? Because I found in my little bit of growing tomatoes that if I fertilize them, they actually did worse.
I do very little.
Very little. Okay.
Yeah. I do that fabulous fecal fertilizer that I make, and I dilute it. You know, and I have a big, I think I'm going to put it in my cistern, my watering thing, and just run my number three line and sprinkle with a hose with the FFF in it and just let the whole yard back there have it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And I haven't done that. My garden area was a field with alfalfa and grass for like 25 years. And
yeah, that's pretty sweet. That's pretty
sweet. Part
of
it to... And so I think it's in pretty good shape for a year or two, and I'll start doing amendments. But it seems to be pretty good. So my big question was watering, because I've kind of backed off, but I don't want to dry them then, obviously, and I think I'll pour some more water to them so I get them bigger vines. I know last year I went into the problem. I got them started later than I have this year, and I called in, and Lance gave me some really good advice just to top them so they would quit blossoming and they started ripening, and I had a lot of tomatoes. I mean, we did really well.
Nice.
And I'm looking forward to that again this year. And of course, then did basil and cilantro, so we have all the components for salsa. And the question on the basil, I had a friend tell me that they should be planted around tomatoes, that they're companion plants. Is that right? Do you know that?
Yeah, they say to do that. Yeah,
I did, so far so good.
Okay,
but harvesting the basil, I found a thing online that said you take them to the third node, above the third node. Do you have any experience with basil?
Oh, just let it get
you
big.
Pinch
and,
it.
Yeah, pinch it. And when it starts to flower, just pinch it off. And just let it get as big as you want. And keep pinching the flowers off.
You pinch that, and they send out side shoots. And stuff. You pinch it out just above a joint, a leaf joint.
Okay. So should I expect, if I do that, it will continue to grow so I can get more than one harvest?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Good.
I let my basil, I can't plant my basil in a stand-up tub, in a smart pot. And I let it get probably a foot and a half, maybe almost 2 feet tall. I keep pinching and thinning.
Wow.
And and then I take it, and then I go in there and I massacre it. And then it comes back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How far above the ground do you massacre it to?
Oh, about 3 or 4 inches. I mean, take it down. Yeah, 6 inches maybe, you know. And there's all these little side shoots, and I just whack it.
And I didn't mean to insinuate as putting that in salsa. Of course, we're making pesto with it, but we love both. But, okay, I need to keep... Oh,
yeah. And every time you see a flower and you pinch it, take that inside and put it on a dish and let it dry. And I use some for your sauces and your salsa, and use some, you know, use the fresh stuff for your pestos, and just play with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's been fun. And love the herbs, just the first appearance with herbs. Well, thank you so much for such a good advice. And I love the show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Greg. One
of these days, I'll come over and see your fabulous garden. I'll just have
All right, thanks. There you go.
Sounds great.
We'll see you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Wow, for a novice, it sounds like he's really got it going on up there.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's trying different stuff, and it's really...
You know what? Lance and I were novices once.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
We learned all this stuff by just making mistakes.
Yeah.
Year
so
after
that
year.
Works, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it is. And you never know. It's always going to... Some plant is always going to throw you a curve and surprise you. So just... Stand by. Just, you know.
Watch. Do your best and see what happens. Well, it's like that lady that called up or text with the, where's my hardneck garlic?
Yeah.
You know, well, if she got a good crop, yay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Take what you can get.
Yeah.
All right. 970-527-4868. 866-KVNF now. worm@kvnf.org is the email. And our friend Anthony... sent an email, Lance, the apricot starts that you gave him are doing super well.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
That's the Afghani white apricot.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Who else was telling us that their apricots were doing really well? Somebody up at your gardens?
There's some other friends I gave some pits to, and they're 2 years ago, they planted that pit out, and it's 18 inches, 2 feet tall.
Oh, no kidding. That is doing well.
Yeah.
Nice. Fresh apricot trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's awesome. Every 10 years, you might even get one.
Yeah, right. Ain't that the truth?
I'm just being real about it because it is, you know.
It's more like every 3 or 4 years. But but you could say every 10. And especially that white apricot blooms too early.
Yeah. Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Anthony's up in Junction.
Yeah.
So that might work for him up there.
Oh, that might work really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about the fact that you can still plant and re-sow, and you just planted some kohlrabi in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you get in there?
I planted kohlrabi, and I planted red and white daikons, and it's amazing how fast they came up, 5 days.
God, it blows me away that you get radishes.
Yeah,
daikons. I can't get radishes.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
then
I planted the lettuce and cilantro, my normal planting of that.
Yeah. And you had those potatoes that you found in your fridge that were sprouting. And
yes.
You put those in the ground. And
yes.
What's going on with that?
I planted them probably 6 inches down. And they started growing in the bottom of that hole. And then I've healed them up, and now they're about 6 inches tall. And they're going to town.
Wow.
Nice.
So we'll see what a late planting. I'll report that because everybody got to plant them on Good Friday. And I don't ever plant potatoes
right,
on Good Friday. It's too early. But these were planted mid-June.
Okay.
Right? So, and Good Friday moves around. You know, sometimes it's later. Sometimes it's really early, you know. That's one of those real unreliable.
Yeah, it is unreliable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it moves around. You never know. You got to try and track it down. Man.
We were just talking before the show, but one of those seed potatoes can produce 10 pounds of potatoes.
1 pound of seed potato will produce 10 pounds of edible potatoes.
That's a lot of potatoes.
So you get a pound or so from each plant.
Nice.
I think that's great for all of you people that like to eat potatoes.
I'm having them for breakfast tomorrow morning.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, nice.
I get that. That's okay. Yeah.
All right. We've got a caller on the line. It's Joseph, and he's down there between Placerville and Ridgeway. So, hello, Joseph. How are you tonight?
Great, thanks.
Good. What's going on?
Okay, I want to know how to grow apricots at 9,000 feet without a greenhouse. I'm on my cell phone.
Okay.
Start
coming in and out, but that's okay.
Okay.
We can terminate. But my questions are, I'm a rookie at this. I've got a great, beautiful green garden, lettuces and tomatoes, peppers and herbs. My arugula continues blossom flowers, even after day, wondering if I should allow it and the arugula to continue to blossom, or if I should cut those down.
You know arugula.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised that you have. Do you get the white blossoms? Is it the broadleaf arugula, or do you have civet? The little tiny leaves and a yellow flower.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's what you have, the civet. Little tiny.
I do.
Okay. Just whack it. Yep.
Put it
right down to
the
ground.
And they day after day.
Yep.
Yep. Just go ahead and hit on it and just keep beating it. It'll just keep coming back.
Okay.
That's the best stuff ever. I love that.
It's the aroma, the bouquet of priceless.
Yeah.
And my tomato, the best themselves are really healthy. I keep moist. I let through a day and then hit them again. Flood them out, but the tomatoes themselves scars in them, and I'm deciding what to do about that. Should I clip the plant back itself so those tomatoes maybe get more sun? What should I do? Plenty of sunlight, like 6-7 hours a day of sunlight on those.
Wow,
that's pretty good. I mean, that's a lot of sun.
Wow. And it's a variety of tomatoes.
Yeah. What kind? What kind of tomatoes are you growing? Do you know?
Oh, don't ask me that.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I won't.
Variety of those, and then, you know, the small cherry. There's only 5 plants. Plenty of room in between. But the plant is very copious and beautiful and green. And,
are you really at 9,000?
I'm thinking about. I'm thinking of heat and cold.
Yeah, me too. Are you really at really high altitude?
I'm just below 9,000.
Wow.
You know, like the last 3 days have been.
Yeah, you're getting
really
huge
temperature swings.
Yep, huge temperature swings. So, good luck. You know it's going to be rough. You know, it's just going to be tough. I don't know, prune them, feed them, see what...
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the apricots. If you continue to listen to me, listen to this show, not me, to listen to this show, I have a white Afghani white apricot, which I've mentioned in the past, and that's grown in Afghanistan at 8,000 feet. Mm-hmm. And I also have one a friend brought from Ladakh, India, which is, 10 or 11,000 feet?
Mm-hmm.
And I can save the pits, and you could grow it back up.
That sounds great. That's probably similar
terrain, that might work.
Conditions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's, you know, otherwise you're...
Thin air.
And these are, you know... heirlooms or whatever you want to call them. They're not hybrided. They're seeds that came actually from Afghanistan and from Ladakh, India.
Wow. Nice.
And you start them in the springtime?
You would start, you actually want to, that's why next year I'll be talking about them if I have them, and we want to harvest them, and you want to actually let the fruit rot on them. That sort of helps with the germination of. And you would plant them in the fall and let them sit there all winter long, freezing and thawing.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I recall some of the fruit trees weren't producing any fruit. And one of you guys mentioned, you know, taking a hat and whacking it, kind of waking that tree up. That was so comical. A lot, you know. I bought it.
Yeah.
Stevie Bonner, my friend Stevie, used to say that. Oh, that tree is slow. Just give it a whack.
Yeah.
You're stimulating them. Yeah.
The cell growth. Yeah. Get them moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wake it up. Thank you, Sal, and I look forward to it every time it comes on.
Ah, good.
And looking for future advice.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Joseph. We look forward to everybody who calls.
We sure do. Love callers.
We love that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
it's our best idea yet. Yeah.
And thanks to our callers tonight. I appreciate you checking in with us. And I do want to remind everybody about the Get Grainy event that's going on at Zephro's, because that's coming up on August 4th from 10 to 2. There's going to be lunch, bread tasting. It is free, but you do need a reservation, and you can go to eventbrite.com, and you're going to be speaking there, Lance.
Yeah.
So lots going on there, and always fun to go up and hang out at Zephro's.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back again next Tuesday, and it's going to be Lady J coming up with One Woman's Perspective. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
All right, have a good evening.
Good night, everybody. Be kind to each other.
Took a shine to, or who you're out to make a sign to. I gotta get that I love so lowly.